At Christmas time in 1914, the Allied troops were locked in bitter trench warfare against the German enemy forces. And it was quite an amazing Christmas, as in Christmas Eve, sides from both camps started singing Christmas carols. And on Christmas Day, quite spontaneously, up and down through Belgium and France, there were these unofficial ceasefires that took place. As soldiers got out of their trenches, in some cases these trenches were less than 50 metres apart. And the conditions in the trenches during that winter warfare period were truly awful. It wasn't a nice place to be. But on Christmas Day, some of those soldiers climbed out and walked over towards the enemy lines, something that they would have never normally done. But there was something special about Christmas Day and the Christmas spirit which they could hear from their opposing trenches. And so there were these ceasefires where some groups started a game of soccer. Some groups started exchanging gifts, exchanging supplies that would help them in the coming days. In one case, a British soldier even wrote that he saw one of his mates, who was quite a keen hairdresser, giving a haircut to a German soldier who was looking a bit scruffy. Quite amazing scenes on Christmas Day. Not all the officers were pleased with this, and the men were ordered back into their trenches. In some cases, the ceasefire lasts for only a few hours. In some places, it lasted for a few days. And then hostilities resumed. The next December, the British High Command issued orders amongst all of their troops that there would be no such ceasefires this year. They were strictly prohibited. And if anyone tried to initiate or respond to an offer of a truce, they would be disciplined severely. In fact, to make sure that there were no more ceasefires of this kind, they kept artillery barrages going through the day so that no one would risk leaving their lines in order to experience that little taste of peace on earth. Our world is a very hostile place at times, and we get glimpses of peace on earth, times where there just seems to be something special, something that we long for, but often it gets swallowed up and overwhelmed in the harshness and the hostility of life. I was chatting to a lady yesterday, and she was talking about hostility within a family, a really sad situation where mother doesn't have anything to do with her daughters and the pain that carries with it. Got an email yesterday from Colin and Agnes Beavis, who many of you know. They're having a holiday in the US. They're having a white Christmas. They went to have lunch at a food hall earlier in the week, and they had to have security checks before they were allowed in because our world is terrified of acts of terrorism at this time in history. There is hostility all around us. What's the answer to that? Did anyone go to the U2 concerts last weekend? Yes. I'm a long-term U2 fan, and this is the first concert of theirs I've ever had the opportunity to get to, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. One of the songs they didn't do at the concert, which is very appropriate at Christmas time, is called Peace on Earth, and it's named after what the angels said to the shepherds, peace on earth. And they're asking the question, well, is there really peace on earth? And this is one of the lines from the song. I should be able to sing it to you because I know the song so well, but it's Christmas Day. I don't want to inflict that sort of pain on you. It says, we hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth, this peace on earth? Great line. And we do celebrate it every Christmas time, and it makes us feel good. Peace on earth. But does that really tee up with what history has shown us? In the last 2,000 years, has there been peace on earth? Were the angels telling whoppers when they announced that this is what Jesus would bring? Because when we look around us, whether it's in families, in friendships, at work, within our society, with the crime that we have, with wars between nations, there doesn't seem to be a lot of peace on earth at times. What difference does Jesus' arrival make to you and I today? Well, that's what our last box is all about. There we go. Our last story box has a dual picture on it. It's a cross and a crown, and both of these are very important. You see, peace is one of the very many blessings that we enjoy when the crown is part of our life. When we choose to make Jesus the rightful ruler of our life, when we recognise that he has come as God to be our king, when we start to live the ways that he showed us how to live, and the ways that he commanded us to live, we begin to experience real peace in our lives. And that peace begins to flow out to others as well. Hostility begins to be replaced by harmony. Hatred is replaced by love. Greed is replaced by generosity. All of these things which Jesus showed us, which people saw in his life and went, wow, there is someone special. All of those things that Jesus commanded of us, when we obey him as our king and do these things, the result is peace. And not just peace. There's joy. There's freedom. There's contentment. There's right relationship. All of these things flow from obedience to Jesus as king, because he tells us how to live well. And he shows us how to live well. But you see, we've all got a problem. And that's where the cross comes in. Because regardless of what good intentions we might have, we might think, yeah, the golden rule. You know, things like doing unto others as you would have them do to you. Love God with all your heart and love others as yourself. Yeah, they sound good. But we all fall short sometimes. We all sometimes feel like being mean. Sometimes we feel like being selfish. Sometimes we hold on to bitterness and we just do this stuff. The only person who lived perfectly God's way was God himself in human form, Jesus Christ. So we've got this problem that we all fall short of God's standards. And the only way that we can ever live up to them is if God himself helps us. That's why Jesus came. And the cross symbolises the fact that we were cut off from God and we couldn't receive his help because of the things we do that break his laws. You see, God is so good, he won't have anything to do with things that are not good, things that are not pure. So anything like greed and selfishness, meanness, spite, all of those sorts of things, God keeps a far distance from those because he doesn't want himself to be corrupted in any way. And so if our relationship with God is broken, how are we going to get the help we need to live better? And that's why Jesus came, to go to the cross for us, which is what one of those gifts talked about, the myrrh. He came to die, to take the penalty for all of the things that we've done wrong, so that God could offer us free forgiveness. And having forgiven us, he could be a part of our lives. There's no more reason for him to not be involved with us. He's forgiven all that stuff, and he can then begin to help us to live in a way which is going to experience all of his goodness. That's the great thing about the cross of Jesus. By dying for us, Jesus won for us not only eternal life. By receiving forgiveness, we get to be in God's family, not only in this life, but in the one to come. We get to enjoy his goodness forever. Not only that, but because God is now a part of our lives, he helps us day by day by day to experience the peace on earth that Jesus came to give. I would have hated to have been one of those guys in the trenches in World War I. It would have been terrible. And it would have been great to have that taste, whether it was for a few hours or a few days, where he said, oh, all that hostility is gone. We can go over there, we can be friends, we can swap gifts, we can sing together. Isn't that great? Only to find that it would only last a few hours or a few days. That would be heartbreaking, I reckon. Because of Jesus, we don't have to just put up with those moments for minutes, hours or days. That can be our constant experience. If we will accept his forgiveness and if we will accept his help to live the way that God truly wants us to live. Many of you have heard the story of a barber, not that barber who was in World War I, another guy, and this guy had problems with God because as he looked at the world around him, he saw so much pain and sorrow and suffering. He said, if there's a good God, he would not let this sort of stuff go on. One day a young bloke came into his barber shop, and during the course of their conversation, as you usually have when you're having your hair cut, it came up what he did on the weekend. He went to church. Oh, you believe in God? Yes. Why? Surely you can't believe in a good God when there's all this bad stuff in the world. The young man sort of just listened and then paid, thanked Barbara for the haircut and went on his way. A little while later he came back, big smile on his face, and said, guess what? Barbara said, what? I've realised that barbers do not exist. What are you talking about? Clearly I exist. Only half an hour ago I cut your hair. What are you saying? Well, I was walking down the street and I saw these really shoddy, unkempt people, moustaches that needed a trim, beards looking all scraggly, hair down the middle of people's backs, all the, what do they call those things? Split ends. I don't have that problem, so I'm not familiar with the lingo. You know, split ends and stuff. And I thought, surely with this many bad hairdos in the world, there can be no barber. No barber would allow people to have bad hairdos like this. And the barber said, give me a break. I cannot be held responsible if people do not come and see me. And the young man said, well, isn't that the point? Can God be held responsible if people won't come to him to be forgiven, to be helped, to live in a way that is going to be helpful for them and for others? Of course we have bad stuff in our world when people refuse to live with God as their King, with Jesus as their Saviour. That's something I'd like for us to think about this Christmas time. Jesus came into our world to offer himself as our Saviour King, but he doesn't force it on us. It's up to each of us to choose to come to him. And I hope that this Christmas, that's part of what it's about for you. You may be somebody who's never come to Jesus and never known what it's like to be forgiven of that stuff that's in your life which falls short of his standards. I pray today that that might be something that you would receive as an offer from God. You might be somebody who has received forgiveness, but you've realised today that, you know what, you're not really accepting his help very much. You're still doing the stuff that causes you pain and other people pain. And this might be a day for you to say, you know what, God, today and tomorrow and this week and this year, I really want to experience your help so that I will be an agent of your peace among the nations. Imagine what World War I would have turned out like if all of those soldiers said no to their commanding officers and said, we like being friends with these guys. We're not going to pick up arms anymore. That's just not what we want for ourselves. Imagine if that's what people around the world did because Jesus was their King. It'd be a remarkably different place, wouldn't it? I'd like to pray for us. Let's bow in prayer. God, thanks for Christmas. Thanks for family. Thanks that we can enjoy celebrating Christmas together. We thank you most of all for Jesus, who is the greatest gift of Christmas. We thank you that he came to bring peace on earth to all who would receive it. The angel said, peace on earth to all on whom his favour rests. We don't have to accept your love. We don't have to accept your grace. We don't have to accept your peace. But I pray today that we would be people on whom your favour rests. We'd be people who are prepared to say thank you. People who are prepared to say, I want to live with Jesus as my King and as my Saviour. That's what he came for. Lord, I pray that you would be very real to us in our thinking, in our hearts, in the way that we relate to one another today, so that it might not be a day of selfishness or greed or any of those other sorts of things, but that today and every day might be a day of peace, joy and happiness because Jesus is King and Jesus is Saviour. Amen.